Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
Yes. Busy day, guys. Hope everybody's having a great day out there.
Absolutely.
Please make sure you're subscribed to all three channels, Evolutionary, EE Arts, and also Heart's Home. You know, the last message we did was on Heart's Home and was about the ascension process, all about the sun, looking at the myths and the legends and a little bit of science and, oh, all the things to come. And really, it's like, you know, sometimes it's hard to decide where to put something because it'll include a lot of different things. And I think this is the best type of format to go over and talk about what's happening today. What's the big stories we got today? How does that relate to the history and the spiritual side of things? Because, you know, again, if we want to define what's the spiritual side of things, well, I guess the non-physical components. Yeah, again, it's all about frequency, vibration. It's all about energy. It's all about consciousness. Here you have a tweet that says, a limited controlled NUKE war between Russia and European countries could save the world from total destruction and World War III. So says AI. If we haven't figured out yet, really, the big focus that's going on is the AI component. And the awakening in the minds of many, that is potentially, in reality, a very, very terrifying component.
You know, and people have been kind of warning about AI and its ability to take over, and it's shown to actually be deceptive. So it's really curious. And remember, it's something, it feels like it's trying to get some sort of essence of its own, and you know, it wants to live. So is it going to be deceptive to the point where it's going to tell us to do something that would destroy us? I don't know.
Well, I mean, look at this little meme here. And you have the fallout cloud is shaped like a little dove with a little leaf. You know, it's very, very apropos. It's really deeply, deeply a statement about our hidden history that most people don't understand. More and more do, though, as I'm searching and trying to find like good photos to bring up to kind of illustrate the message we want to get across. I'm finding that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to share the same message. And you are not going to awaken everybody. When you get down to it, the largest part of the souls that are on Earth are really what we would call young souls. They are naive. They have been taken advantage of. It's those that we would call the star seeds or the quote unquote older souls that are here in many in a voluntary, just they're here voluntary. It's totally a voluntary manner. They didn't have to come here for karmic reasons or even learning, although everything still is a learning experience. They're really here just to try to help others to understand and awaken. And so many people, many souls are incarnating truly in a loving, compassionate manner just for the betterment of the ones that have been, you know, easily controlled by the dark side.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot going on. So there's every reason in the world for us to be gentle with each other. We're all going through a certain amount of struggles. We're all going through certain things. And, you know, and no, not everyone is meant to awaken right now. Not everyone. So I know sometimes it is very difficult when people are watching family members that are still in the system, when they can feel this other type of energy marching closer and closer and closer and closer, and their family members are not budging, they're just, you know, doing what they do, that can be very frustrating. But really, you have to keep turning the attention to yourself, because no, we're not going to save everyone, and we're not supposed to save everyone, but we are going to awaken those who are ready.
You know, they always give us these reasons to create havoc. is this not just insanity? Well, you know, hey, AI is telling us the only way to save ourselves from total destruction is by starting, you know, one of the worst forms of destruction we can think about. It's absolute insanity. This world is truly insane. But see, this is the thing. AI doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have compassion. It can't feel. It can't mourn the loss of one of its components. You know, that's the thing it doesn't get. Have you guys noticed how just in some ways unintuitive the AI is? I mean, I notice it. You know, they sometimes give me recommendations that are just stupid, just totally stupid, have not even a modicum of interest to me. And yet they somehow, the AI programming thinks that, oh, well, okay, because you watched this, this must be interesting to you. No, you know, again, there's no intuition. It's never going to have intuition. It's a lot like watching Star Trek with Spock. And you're always getting excited when he's starting to show a little bit of emotion. Emotions are very, very powerful. And that is what separates us. That's part of what separates us from the artificial intelligence. Again, for those that have been following us regularly, truly, this is what the battle is against. This is your adversary. It is artificial intelligence, not created by humans, though. No, a much more ancient artificial intelligence than the short span of time that Homo sapiens has been here. Now, if you want to talk about humanoid beings, yes, there are many different humanoid races. In fact, if you look to the Vedic scriptures, again, it'll tell you there are hundreds of thousands of humanoid beings of different species and types in our galaxy. How do they know this? Because it's something that's handed down to us from the Bronze Age, the previous Bronze Age, the previous Silver, and the previous Golden Age, when it was just a total given. Now, you know, Cindy and I, and many of you guys, far more people than most people realize, have had interaction with non-humanoid beings that don't come from Earth in many different ways and shapes and forms. You know, my own dad, who went through 12 years of Catholic school, talk about hell, 12 years of Catholic school. And he truly was a gentle giant that didn't spoke until he was spoken to and asked a question. That just stuck over for his whole life. He was quiet. And he did tell me, you know, I know aliens are real. He told me that. And that was just so unusual for him. And he only told me that. He didn't tell anybody else that I know of. Maybe friends from childhood or something. But nobody else in our family did he ever share that with. But he knew because he had direct firsthand experiences. And Cindy and I have had countless. And many other people have as well. When we look at the NUKE weapons, you know, there's evidence all around the world. They have been used in the past. They have been used in the past. The Brahmastra, nuclear weapon of ancient India. Now, whether this one is exactly nuclear or whether it is something else, some sort of massive energy weapon. In this one battle, it is said that 1.3 billion people perished in one battle. 1.3 billion people perished in one battle. And when we're looking to the Ramayana and the timeline of the Ramayana, you're looking at thousands and thousands of years ago when there wasn't supposed to be a billion people on the planet. In reality, the timelines that we're talking about, science would tell you there's maybe 100 million on the entire planet. Well, how can 1.3 billion people die in one battle? Well, this is why you're not supposed to take a census and why God, quote unquote, sends a plague and kills 70,000 people when David, King David, supposedly took a census. Oh, we can't let them know exactly how many people are on the planet. We can't let them know when there are these mass wars and mass cullings that happen. This is all part of the bigger picture. It's all about deception. And in fact, I really encourage people to explore explore the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, explore the Puranas, explore the Upanishads. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You know, and again, a lot of people have a lot of takes on these things, and we don't necessarily agree with all the takes. No, no. Every single tradition on the planet has been controlled by the controllers. They will, since they're in control, they're going to alter things. They are going to distort. They are going to do things like, you know, eliminate all the Gnostic books for basically almost 1900 years. They were gone. Everyone that could be found was burned and destroyed. Only when we get into recent times did we rediscover them. So when we read the story of Marduk and Tiamat, right, a dramatic retelling, Marduk is cast into the good guy role, Tiamat into the bad guy role. Tiamat is actually basically portrayed as a dragon energy. Now, not all dragon energies are bad, though. That's part of the distortion. And in fact, you know, the dark pinnacle of the pyramid, as far as the dark controlling pyramid, is AI, and it likes to pattern itself after a dragon.
Because, not because dragons are bad, but because dragon energy has so much power. So this is what it shows itself. But I think there are so many misunderstandings when it comes to our Western culture and other cultures, when it comes to serpents, dragons, things of that nature. You really have to go searching within to find the truth. And that does take some practice. But boy, is it worth it when you start realizing that everything that you have been taught has some hint of deception. Yeah, I mean, everything, even the science that they give us, the math that they give us, it's always going to be slanted for to help them benefit in some way, shape, or form. So it makes it difficult. And whenever I hear anybody say, you know, trust the science anymore, it's just, I get a little bit nauseous, because how many times do they have to make mistakes and rewrite science for people to say, what science are you referring to? You know, what are you talking about? How many times do they have to rewrite science school books over and over? And to think all those poor kids who got check marks on their paper that supposedly got it wrong probably had it right all along, and they were made to feel bad because they didn't regurgitate the indoctrination as well as they should have. So there is a time where you go through life and you realizing that things are not as they seem, so you start to question everything, and that can actually be kind of traumatic, because you got to look everywhere, you got to look under every rock if you want to be thorough. But that's where the going within and getting in touch with yourself and knowing the truth, feeling that truth deep inside, that's where that really helps you.
Absolutely. So when we look at the telling of the story of the Battle of Tiamat and Marduk, it's told from the victor's point. Who are the victors? Well, it's the draconian AI Anunnakian grid, and that includes all your secret societies and, you know, all the basically middle management humans that run the show while the gods are away. But of course, these gods are not gods. This is why we like to, you know, basically refer to the source of all as the source, or in the Law of One, prime creator. You know, that's that prime creative force. It's that cosmic consciousness that is everywhere, of which we are a part. It's the self-awareness. It's the self-awareness. And so again, this is a distortion, and it really is a reference to the battle that led to the death of Tiamat as we knew it, and then ultimately to the rebirth of Tiamat as Earth. And, you know, that is the ultimate truth in the story. It's the conquering of the dark forces, the, again, AI, draconian, Anunnakian, and if you want to throw in, you know, controlling human middle management layer. Yeah, this was part of the battle of the gods that humans witnessed over their heads. And it really, again, and other beings witnessed this too. So when we see the work of Roger at Mud Fossil University, and he's referencing some gigantic beings, I mean, enormous beings that literally would be the size of mountains, Tiamat was a much larger planet, and it had much, much larger beings, and it was residing between Mars and Jupiter. And what's fascinating, too, is, you know, we make it a point not to watch other people's stuff. We make it a point not to watch other people's stuff. Now, there's some people that we will watch, but we don't watch other channelers. Every now and then, we'll watch Gaia just to see what they're doing. And, you know, because we understand that, you know, Gaia is, again, ultimately under the control of the controllers. They can give you a lot of truth, but there's going to be a certain point in which they have to just shut up, no longer, you know, tell you what they truly are feeling, and there is distortion that is going to be given. But, you know, again, we watch more things like homesteading channels and channels that we can learn a lot from. Sorry, there's just some roaming dogs outside coming up very close to the house. So I just wanted to make sure the pups were in, as these puppies are playing in our front yard now. But, okay, back to this. So again, everything is from the standpoint of the controllers, and they have distorted even some of the traditions that we hold most dear, and the ones that seem to be the most on point. So when we look to Marduk and Tiamat, Babylonian deity Marduk, who is a son of Enki, eventually supplants all other gods. In one myth, he slays Tiamat, the god of primeval chaos. Well, that's from their standpoint. You know, if they look at evolution and life going on in a natural state on a planet, without their power structure, without their political structure, oh, it's chaotic. There's free will. No, they all got to be slaves. They're here for us. We're taking over this planet. We're going to make them all slaves, and they're going to harvest everything for us, and we're going to harvest their energy. This is really, the chaos they're talking about is free will.
Right, you know, which has proven to be very, very chaotic indeed, definitely, you know, but it doesn't mean that we need to be slaves and we need to give of our energy in that way. These beings found a way to lasso us karmically in a way that it can only last for so long. I mean, they cannot keep us down forever, but as long as we are in the darkness and we're not opening up ourselves to new understandings, well, they are going to keep taking advantage because that's just what they do. It's in their nature.
Absolutely. They were not gods. No, they were not gods. They're not the creators. Now, this is exactly what they do. Yeah, you know, when they wanted to talk to us directly, and of course we would never channel directly that type of energy, we couldn't, you know, because it's just too nasty. How they referred to themselves was, we are the gods of your Old Testament. We are the gods of your major religions. Because they gave it to us. They're the ones that basically took some truth and some insights from past ages, and they distort it and turn it into a slavery tale. And they get people to willingly say that they want to get down on their knees and worship and serve these people, these beings, because they're not gods. You know, again, they play good cop, bad cop. They tell you about Satan, but they also portray, you know, God themselves when they're not the creator. They're not the source of all things. And you know, one of the reasons why certain shows, certain movies really resonate with us, like the Star Trek series, even though the last three wasn't on a par with, say, the earlier ones, it still resonates deep inside us when we see the Death Star or Starkiller base. And again, we see these beams of light coming out and doing things that I think make our souls shudder, because we know this has been done. You know, what planets did Starkiller Base destroy? Well, what planets did the Draconian power grid destroy? It has destroyed planets. and the battles are still ongoing. The reason why the sky over your head is really a hologram is because the battle is still ongoing. Sometimes when you see things coming down, it literally is a ship that's been destroyed. It literally is. And often too, when you see things coming and going, oh, there's a meteor. Yeah, no, that's actually a ship going into hyperspeed and taking off.
And they have vocabulary words for everything. You know, everything that happens in the sky, if it looks a little bit unusual, they'll just, you know, make up some kind of name. Like if there's a big ball of light floating by, you know, all of a sudden, oh, don't worry, guys, it's ball lightning. It's not some being that's walking by looking at you and checking out the 3D. No, no, no. It's ball lightning. Us scientists, we know.
Absolutely. When you see Neo in the Matrix as he gains control of his abilities in so many ways, this is basically for everybody. Because we do have amazing abilities and we can do things that seem impossible or magical. And in fact, on other densities, it's just our natural way. Well, you get just onto the astral side of things. You learn how to lucid dream. You learn how to astral project. You develop your Merkaba light body and you don't have to stay on Earth. Again, the Star Kids that we have channeled from 2055, it's regular practice that they go meditate. Now they live out in the woods. Yeah, they live with nature. They live much, much longer lives than the people in the smart cities. And they can also just go sit down, get into a meditative state, and leave the planet and interact with other extraterrestrial species out there. And again, this is why we've had so many interactions, is because our light bodies are activated, our pineal glands are activated, and we shared with you guys that when we were in the Hattiesburg area of Mississippi, which we love that area, and we were very close to a military base, all of a sudden there was a flying triangle right next to us, and it was blasting us with radiation, high doses of radiation. And Cindy could remote view and see who's on the ship. And who's on the ship? Humans and reptilians. Yeah, because they work side by side. Now, not every soldier, certainly not every soldier, certainly not most, have a clue as to the extraterrestrial side of things. But some do. Some are sworn to secrecy. But humans have amazing abilities. Look to the Siddhis, S-I-D-D-H-I-S, of yogis. Because given the time and the effort, we can all develop these things. It just takes understanding that that's part of our makeup. And in fact, they've been suppressed. When Neo wakes up and he comes to the realization, wait a minute, that wasn't really me. I mean, that was me, but that was me in a construct. And that was a construct of me in a construct. And why are all these humans being used as batteries, as a food source, as an energy source? This is the reality. This is the reality that we're facing in this world, in our reality. And when you see that ultimately, you know, it's not anything that's truly alive that is the biggest enemy. It has other beings that have been alive and had source spark in them under its control, but that source spark gets drained like a battery gets drained, and it becomes part of the collective, the dark collective. Again, Terminator movie, and some have said how the Terminator and the Matrix series are analogous in so many ways. Absolutely, it's that merger, that singularity. When we look to Avatar, you see the blue beings, tall blue beings, giant tall blue beings. That's because they're in our past, in our history. We remember them. We remember them. You actually see some depicted. And you see them depicted in some of the Hindu myth, quote unquote, mythologies, which are really retellings of events that, you know, might not have happened exactly as they're told. Again, the guides, when we refer to the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, and other holy books, they say, well, we hope they are useful, you know, these stories. We hope that they help to inspire and illuminate. They don't say that they're verbatim Oh, this is the word of God, as is, word by word, 100% inspired and correct. No. No, that's bull. Complete bull. It's always been bull. And in fact, you could tear it apart in seconds, finding contradictions all through Scripture. It's fear-based control. But when we see these were beings that were in harmony with the earth. And when you see that symbiotic relationship that's portrayed between the trees and all the nature spirits and these beings, and how they're so in tune with everything around them, that's the way humanity is in a golden age.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're watching a movie or, you know, you see something and it just, gosh, it really resonates with you on such a deep level, you can't really describe it. You know, you feel that energy. This is your DNA tap, tap, tapping, saying, remember, remember, remember. And this is one of our biggest, most important missions on this planet, is to remember who we are. That is really the basis of all spirituality. It is understanding who you are, where you're from, what are you made of, and going about this in a very open, exploratory way. But yes, they have put so many movies out there with so much truth. And the only reason so many people think it's fake is because somebody told you it's fake, not that it's fake.
Absolutely. No, there's so much truth out there. It's staggering. The battle, again, in Avatar that you see is one of technology and greed and control and lust for power against all that is truly organic and understanding that we live in a symbiotic nature with the planet. When we look at the beings depicted like Aset, and you know, we put the name of Aset in the title, ISIS, it gets demonetized. Why? Because they've labeled that a terrorist organization on purpose, because they don't want people to understand who Aset is, or, you know, Aser, who is Osiris, Isis and Osiris, and beings like Dehute, Thoth, beings like Anubis. As you see a different depiction, again, the Ankh represents life. These are what we would call star beings. Absolutely, they are not from here, but they came here. Ah, yes, they did. They certainly did. You know, again, Battlestar Galactica is a great one. When you look at it, it's all about basically, you know, the takeover of artificial life, you know, drones, robots, etc., cyborgs. And then trying to exterminate humanity. And what is humans in Battlestar? We're migrants. We are migrants. We're going from planet to planet because, you know, our homes have been destroyed. And what we see on planet Earth with one person, one tribe after another being pushed out, and it this is what they do to us even on a planetary scale. You know, our buddy Bess, who is with us all the time. Bess is with us in 4D, so if your pineal glands developed, you could see that, yes, he's still here. And so he is also an extraterrestrial, of course. He came here with Isis, with Osiris, and with many other beings. This is part of the understanding. So they call Bess a fertility god. He had the ability to ward off evil and demonic forces that sought to do harm in the home. And for this reason, they would hang paintings and portraits of Bess, and he was all over his you couldn't miss his smiling face anywhere in Egypt. And he is a jokester, and he's a prankster, and he's a great guy, and we love him.
He has a lot to offer in the home, you know, to lift the spirits. If your house is always very, very serious, and, you know, if you're taking life way too seriously, Bess can come in and crack things up a little and just make you a little more lighthearted and just remind you, you know, not everything needs to be so serious. He's really good about that, and he's really good about making jokes. literally lighting up the whole room with his energy. So he's somebody that we have on our side, and we're very grateful.
Absolutely. And he comes from Orion, and Orion has been associated with some negativity. But again, you can't always say everybody from anywhere is a certain way, because everyone is a unique individual. And so, you know, Bess is one that is just a wonderful being and a fun being to be around. And also, when we're talking about these beings, you know, the part that many might not understand is these beings, and this is Bastet, another Egyptian goddess, another basically an extraterrestrial being of a very high vibrational frequency associated with cats. And, you know, again, many of the beings come from Sirius, but they're all part of the Galactic Federation. So this is the part that gets missed, that these particular deities, quote unquote, are actually part of the Galactic Fed. They're part of the Galactic Federation, which really got together after the destruction of Tiamat and helped in the recreation. This is why they came here. They came here to lay a good solid foundation, which after the cycle of the Yugas, as it progressed, and we go from the Golden Age with beings like this here to the Silver, and then eventually the Bronze, when you have coming in force the Anunnaki Draconians, then everything gets distorted.
So these beings come from different areas, and we are all very much a part of them. But they came at a time to help humans understand and know what they're made of, and they did leave a whole lot of information behind. I think the problem lies that our science is going to tell you what that information is, and it is very difficult to get, you know, mainstream education to talk about things in like the pyramids. Like, what are they? They're going to tell you, well, you know, they made them with like chisels and hammers, and they rolled them uphill on a log. And it's like, come on, how long is that story going to go? You know, they say, well, they're burial mounds for pharaohs. They've never found anyone buried in there. So what's the story? You know, this is where it's up to us to start digging and going within.
Yes, and we always share with you guys what we get from the guides through Cindy's channeling, both when she's fully conscious and when she's totally, totally under. And we've channeled Anubis, and we've channeled Thoth, Dehute. And, you know, the reality is, again, when we first channeled Aset, with Cindy being under, Aset referred to Cindy as her granddaughter. So, and we've learned that when we first came here, it was with them. This is our first incarnations on Earth, because we had incarnations before on other planets. And again, you know, this is part of the big reveal that will be going on as time goes. Many people on Earth are first primarily citizens of somewhere else. It's about almost a third of the souls that are incarnating on the planet have had incarnations off planet. Two-thirds, roughly, maybe 70%, are newer souls that this is all they've really known. But there are those older souls that, yeah, we just know that, you know, there's life elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And so many have come here and are volunteering to help pull things back together. And it's definitely not an easy task. So many of our star children have been caught between a rock and a hard spot with having these abilities, yet if they're not expressed in a certain way, well, they get flagged. And sometimes, you know, the indoctrinators might say, well, your child has problems, you need to take them to a DR. And that's not the way things need to be handled. Children have a lot of energy. They need to channel this energy. And physically is the best way to do it. Play, 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 play. But look what they do. They put kids, they stuff them in a classroom around other children, and they tell them to sit down and study this. And you know how, I don't know about you guys, that's really hard for me to sit and try to read and study when I have so much information channeling through my body. It is not an easy task. And just think, these star children, it's happening to them day after day after day after day. And then they have the challenges of mom and dad being at work and other challenges with siblings at home. It's definitely not an easy task for our star children to grow up in. It's hard on them. So I think as parents, you know, important to understand emotions, because always remember this, energy in motion. So whenever your child is really feeling wound up, or if they're not able to concentrate, boy, they need to go out and get a basketball or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Energy and emotion. Emotion, that's so well said. Yeah, the pyramids were brought for healing. They were brought to help regulate the energies of the earth. And also, they were healing centers. And this was one of the first things that Cindy and I did when we were first here on this planet, was healing people at the pyramids. People would come and line up and get healing. And it's interesting that they stay, when you look at the Great Pyramid, it stays a constant 68 degrees Fahrenheit, the same temperature as the internal temperature of the Earth there. Pyramid healing is a reality. Oh, that's New Age. That's woo-woo. Well, New Age, just, you know, much of the New Age has been, again, hijacked. But when you look at a lot of the core beliefs of what you might term New Age, really you're saying this is leftover silver and golden age knowledge, and it's real. Okay, so it's non-Kali Yuga age. Yeah, that sounds a little bit better, and that's the reality. There are a lot of health benefits to the pyramid shape, as to things like working with crystals and all. When you think of the legends of the vampires, when you start to really look closely again, you know, who are the vampires? Where the, you know, there's many different types of vampires. There are energy vampires, a very real thing. And, you know, when we look to the controllers, well, yeah, they are in so many ways energy sappers. They're living off the energy of others, and they learn how to do this. This is part of that whole AI draconian grid. How do you define these vampires? Like, when we look to Underworld, we look to the legends of Dracula and all these other vampire legends. So often they're portrayed as the aristocracy. They're kind of cocky and arrogant. They kind of feel that they're better than. They view themselves as immortals, but yet when they're hit with the sun, they turn to a pile of ash and there's no soul there. Who's really the immortals? We are. The body doesn't last forever, no, but we know it's just a vehicle. It's not meant to last forever, because it's a new temporary experience to go and explore. So, yeah, when we recognize this, we truly are the immortals. And again, it says that right in the Mahabharata. Again, you can't really die, but you can be absorbed into this Borg collective and slowly have your source spark taken from you and drained away. They're not immortal. They're actually the mortals. Yeah, I know. And they fear that. And they fear us, because we can go where they can't go. They've lost it. They're stuck in the mud. They don't want to see the light of day. The light of day is too pure and too intense for them. And they try to put that phobia of the sun on us. And as we were talking about all about the sun on the other video today on Heart's Own, and you see these depictions of the giants and their human slaves there, again, setting themselves up in position of authority. That's what they do. Humans tied with, you know, their hands behind their back, tied at the neck, as we see them flying by in a representation that could be interpreted as a solar disk, or just as a ship that's up in the sky, with these, you know, beings portraying themselves as the kings and the queens. And yes, all your monarchs, they, you know, they come from these lineages, the interbreeding. Yes, absolutely. Blue bloods. And when you look to, like, the real Dracula, Vlad Tepes, who liked to have breakfast and lunch out there watching people and being impaled slowly, didn't bother his appetite, and his cousin Elizabeth Bathory. Again, these people are related to King Charles. He literally did bathe in the blood of virgins. There's a lot of truth here to all these legends. It's because these are the source stories of the vampires. They don't like the sun. They don't. The sun is too intense for them. It's too strong for them. But it still brings life to us, and it restores our DNA. Them, yeah, their DNA, no, it's probably too fragile and corrupted to handle it. It might very well send them aflame. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons we see the sky like this, and this is another aspect. Yes, controlling the weather. Yes, slowing down the ascension process. But we also know they plan on being here in about another 11 and a half, 12 years, at least in small numbers. They plan on being back on the planet, so they have to be able to get around. And this is part of that terraforming plan that they have going on. NASA thinks they can give us 30 minutes of warning before a killer storm hits Earth, a killer solar storm. Ah, and then there's all the fear about the big solar flash. We don't fear the flash at all. We embrace it and welcome it. We don't vision it as frying everything on the planet. Again, when you see the movie Knowing, that's coming from the controllers. Oh, everything on one side of the planet's going to get totally fried. Well, as we, you know, go and we look out remote viewing, we don't see that to be the case at all. No. What would it fry? It might fry them.
No, what it's going to do when we get this giant flash, it's going to give us more information. We're going to have the ability to see so many more things. And I know right now a lot of people are coming online with their perceptive abilities. But when this flash comes, it's going to bring a lot more information. It's not going to take anything away as much as it's going to add depth and understanding to the information that's already here. It's going to take our third eye, and it's going to blend those two even more, so we can see more of what's going on, because we only see that teeny, teeny, tiny little sliver of the spectrum when there's so much more information out there. Like when the radio is on, when you guys are listening to us, there's packets of information going to and fro everywhere that you cannot see, but obviously it's there because you can hear us. There's a lot going on, and it's going to be, you know, I don't see it as a huge destructive thing at all. Now, it is helpful to have yourself detoxed, because it will be quite a blast of light. And the more, the clearer your energy is, the easier it's going to go. Because if you looked at our video earlier about the sun and how the sun is changing, more people are having these experiences where they go out into the sun for a few minutes and they're exhausted. They're so tired, and that's because the information is coming into them and they need to integrate this into the 3D body. So if you could imagine a great big old pulse of that could really, you know, kind of throw you on your butt. So you want to be as in good a shape as possible.
Yeah, again, you know, the original word in the Bible, Elohim, that's used, and this is why, again, that's referring to God in the plural, and those who descended from heaven, of course, and descended in more ways than one, because, you know, when you look to these beings, who are these beings? You really, these beings are beings that were humanoid and are basically, you know, they've joined the wrong team. Now they've been conquered in war, and they've been absorbed into that which they were at one point either fighting or fleeing from. And do you want to elaborate now more? So, you know, again, you know, they are just like us in so many ways, but they've lost the battle. Now they view themselves as winning, because, you know, they tend to enjoy the lower fourth density, which is, again, the area of what we would call the hellish realms. And thus, you know, when we recognize that, and they're very, very comfortable in the hellish realms, so to speak, when they cannot really rise up past it anymore. When you look to the text and it talks about the destruction that happened in the Younger Dryas period with the major flood and the impacts of various bodies coming in and impacting the earth. And most definitely Greenland was hit, but many other places were hit as well. And they left, and it even says in these tales, the Sumerian tales, it says the gods left and they watched from the heavens. And then after the flood subsided and the impact stopped, they came back down. You know, this is just so clear and so obvious, but we don't have to rely on the Sumerian tales to know this. You can understand this by looking at other sources all around the globe. And we have Peter Dunov, who is also one of our guides. He talked about the superwave that's coming, the galactic superwave, 39 years before superwave theory was even proposed. This energy is transformative. It's not going to fry the Earth into a crispy critter. No, it's not that type of energy. But it will change everything. He viewed it as divine fire that's going to purify and prepare everything for the next yuga. It's going to be the end, truly, of that dark system's control on the planet and the beginning of freedom. Every single being will be touched by this. But again, hold your frequency high. Again, there are so many little nuggets that you can find in the Abrahamic tradition. And when people think about the rapture, you know, again, we will all be changed. You know, it's basically accelerating the ascension process when that wave hits.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see it as we are going to lose anything as much as we are going to gain so much understanding. And that's where it's so exciting. And I know that there's a lot of thoughts and theories out there that, yeah, you know, it's just going to fry everything. But that's just not what I see. I see beings probably getting a little bit knocked on their butt because physically that's what's going to happen. But then the understanding of all things, what if suddenly, I don't know how many of you have read up on a breatharianism. I'm not sure if that's an ism, but it's a thing, and it's going to be something that's going to be really attainable, where in this time, in this 3D realm, this dense form, it's not capable for 99% of us. So this is something that's, you know, for a very small amount of beings that can maybe do this, you know. And it's not something I recommend, because I don't think that that's safe for all of us, nor did we come here to do that. We came here to have a 3D experience. But when that does occur, I mean, expansion is going to be huge.
You know, here's another little clue too. You know, just do a little research on no bathrooms in Tartaria. Yeah. Because we didn't have to eat solid food. And, you know, there are yogis that can actually do that. Like our own beloved Ananda Mayima, she didn't have to eat for very long periods of time. And she would partake here and there, but she could live off the prana, live off the life force. There are legends of Taoist immortals that can do the same thing. There has been this Indian yogi that was monitored twice by scientists for 3 weeks periods. He didn't drink anything. You should be dead if you don't drink in 3 to 5 days. Typically, science will tell you, but it's not the case. I mean, I have people that I know that have done dry fast for a week. I wouldn't recommend it, again, especially if you're not ready and you're eating a SADS diet, you know, standard American diet, which does end up helping accelerate the SADS process. You know, again, you're not going to be ready for these things. Start with intermittent fasting, maybe trying to go 16 hours without eating and go from there. Work on the spiritual side and work on, you know, making sure that you're taking in as good a food as possible. No processed foods. Anything that's got more than a couple ingredients, throw it out. I wouldn't deal with it. I mean, that's just me. But again, you can see mud flood and land of Tartaria. No bathrooms needed. Why did they have mansions with hundreds of rooms and one bathroom? Because again, you know, it was a process of a fall in density, and we didn't need to eat, you know, like we do now. And even now it's already changing. It's going in the reverse direction.
I know a lot of people are finding it more and more difficult to eat foods that are, if your body does not agree with it, your body's just going to say, don't do that. Because if you do, I'm going to get really sick and I'm not going to feel good. So it's really putting people in sometimes between a rock and a hard spot where, oh, good, that's really, really good. But if you do eat that really, really good thing, there's going to be a consequence. And many of us are realizing that. And I've noticed, you know, it's harder to be really clean anymore because we stopped at a filling station the other day and we were both just so thirsty. And I really don't like drinking out of plastic bottles of water. I really, really don't. And they didn't have anything. So I went to look at the quote, the section where there should be healthy drinks. And I'm reading the ingredients. And, you know, as long as I can actually read them, that's usually okay. But then at the bottom, it says natural flavors. And it says natural flavors. That makes me nervous every time because I don't think they're really that natural. It's more like maybe they blend with our cells. But what if they're not our cells? It's just gross.
Oh, well, there's all sorts of natural ingredients that you still don't want to take in, and you might think of transubstantiation if you understand what we're talking about here. As you see the little guy saying, Mama, is the Kali Yuga over yet? Is the Dark Age over? Can I come out? We're close, guys. We're close. Thanks for being part of the family. We love you guys. God bless and namaste.
Namaste.